Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about the astrology for the weekend. That means today's Friday. Happy Friday to everybody. Finally. Finally. Some people are so clever with words, it just really cracks me up. So finally, it's Friday. It's been a long week, but I swear to God, it's gone so fast. So much happens in such a short period of time sometimes, doesn't it? And this has been one of those weeks where there has been a lot going on. And the weekend, I'm not sure, offers us any less of that busyness or any less of the drama and the trauma out there. But let's talk about it and see what we can find out. Hold on here, making sure I've got all my notes here this morning. I decided to go play with my cat for a minute because she was meowing. So I came back to my desk and went, oh my gosh, it's time to start my show. So anyway, good morning to all of you. Debbie, it looks like you're out there. Natasha's joined us. Linda's joined us. Great to see you ladies out there starting this morning. We are sitting here today with the moon in Virgo all day long until we get till later this evening when the moon will turn into the void for the next several hours. I like it when the void happens like this, where it's 8:59 p.m. my time, 11:59 for you all on the East Coast, and it's void until 3 in the morning my time, 6 in the morning your time on the East Coast. So, yay, it doesn't affect us. We're sleeping. Or we're at least, you know, cuddled up and watching TV or a movie, or, you know, we're not trying to do business and we're not trying to, you know, move forward, hopefully. Now, some of you that might be in Europe or Australia, your days are just beginning at that point in time. So for you guys, it might be a little more effective. But for the bulk of us, at least the people who are reaching the sound of my voice, we are ending up in a day where it isn't going to affect us that much. So, yay. However, that doesn't let us off the hook for all of the different connections that the moon will be making up until that void. And today she is trining Saturn, opposing Neptune, squaring Jupiter, trining Pluto, and conjuncting Mars. Wow. So she is quite the busy moon today. Luckily, there aren't any other big planetary actions, but we're still under the auspices, if you will, of influences of some of the other things that have been going on. Right, the sun in conjunct to Uranus, the sun in an opposition to Chiron. So those things aren't past yet. They are not done. So we are still, you know, even though there's no new connections with the planets to talk about, we're still under the influence of the things that have been, you know, going on throughout this week for us. So just when you thought you were in the clear, you're not. It's okay, though, because the moon in Libra soothes things, makes things better. And here we are today. This is the dark of the moon. We are in the last day before the moon is new. And so all is dark in terms of our energy. We are in the lull. We're in the quiet part of the moon. There's not a whole lot to be started yet anyway. So we are waiting for the new moon tomorrow morning in order to be able to get things revved up and moving in a new direction. So Saturday, the new moon at 11:27 a.m. my time, 2:27 for you all on the East Coast. And it's a decent moon. We'll talk more about that here in just a minute. Sunday, big news, moon in Libra all day. I like that because we're having a big family get together on Sunday, watching the Seahawks game, having a great time eating chili and cornbread. And there's a whole host, like today, of course, there's a whole host of contacts that the moon is making. Remember, the moon in Libra is now opposing, the moon in Libra will be opposing those planets, Chiron and Eris in Aries, and the north node will be square to that moon in Cancer, and then the south node, Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn, squaring that moon. Anytime we're going through one of those signs, it's setting off all of this energy around the chart. And then by association in your own personal chart, in your own personal life, things are firing off as well. So if you have your own chart and you can look to see where those four signs are, Cancer, Libra, Aries, and Capricorn, you'll get a glimpse into the areas of your life that may be firing off and change happening and drama or, you know, good things happening. But you have to know your chart first, right? So get your chart out, take a look at that and see where all of that's happening for you. Today is the beginning of the new Human Design Week. We begin the fun of the sun for the next several weeks, going through the spleen. So the gates of the spleen are the ones that we talk about that are fear, that they can double as fear or paralysis points. But the main energy in the spleen is about success. And when I say success, I mean survival, right? The success of the species, the success of living and thriving and flourishing. It is also the center for intuition and health. This is what our new Human Design chart will look like for this today. And over here, you see the spleen. I've circled it. And look, it is the most activated area of our charts, that and the root center. Now, the root center is the center for endurance and for stress. So anxiety, the adrenalized stress. So we may feel those adrenals kicking in and pressing us to get things done or to make some movement on something. And then that can create or generate fear for us. So I wanted you to take a look at this because literally we've been talking about the different fears. Yesterday, we talked about the gate 18 and we looked deeper at what that was going to be about, which is the fear of perfection, being critical or overly judgmental about yourself or others, speaking out of turn, as it were, in order to correct something. We literally can sometimes call this the gate of correction. The people who carry this energy by birth are usually really good at noting where things are out of alignment, and they seek then to perfect, to bring things back into a beauty or a harmony or a balance, or to make it right. And they can sometimes then be, you know, considered judgmental or critical because often they do this without asking whether it's okay for them to put forth their criticism or their judgment. So they can be not received in the spirit in which that they wanted to give that information to people. For those of you who don't normally have this gate defined, then suddenly you have access to this gate and it may unconsciously trigger your being perfectionistic or picky or criticizing yourself or others, or looking to try to be constructive in your criticism, but failing miserably at it because you didn't do the one thing that you need to do before you speak this. And that is to gain the other person's permission. And when we're talking about this, this is about just simply asking the other person, I can see that you've done a lot of work on this project. May I offer you some observations that I have? And you wait for that person to say yes, or they could say no, thank you. And either way, you honor that, right? And if you get the permission to speak, then your criticism or your judgment or your effort at correction is accepted in the spirit in which it was given. However, if you don't do that, then you lose friends because they think, or your sister gets mad at you because you are always criticizing her. In her judgment, she is being criticized by you, and it's likely because you haven't waited for the permission from that person to be able to share that. So we'll have to watch that. That's the energy for the next week. We're already pretty familiar with this. Mercury's been there, Venus was there, the Sun is now there, and then Mars will go through there later. So we'll be learning this lesson quite deeply over the next couple of days for sure. It isn't the only gate of fear that is being triggered right now, right? There's also the gate 32 sitting here. The sun will be there in a couple of weeks, but what's there right now? Let's see, who's at 32? Was it? Yeah, it's Mercury is at gate 32. Gate 32 is interesting as a fear gate as well, because the gate 32 takes the energy of the gate 54, which is the gate of ambitions or goals or drive, of vision, and it puts it to work, and it then deems whether there is success or failure in bringing about the goal, in being able to connect to the goal or to find success in achieving the goal. So that particular channel is completely defined for us right now, at one end by Pluto and at the other end by Mercury. So for the next couple of days, we could have, in human design, sometimes we call this the channel of the workaholic, because there's such an energy here of wanting to achieve something, to get something done, that it can keep you working and working and working using endurance energy down here in this in the root center, using endurance energy even when it's pulsed off. Remember, the there are two centers that are pressure centers in your human design. The head is a pressure center, the very top center, which is open right now, by the way. There's nothing up there, just doubt, right? Just doubt up there right now. So definitely don't want to go there for inspiration at the moment. But the pressure in the head is about answering questions, right? The mind wants to know why, when, how, what, where, with whom, right? And can you prove it? Those are the questions that are pressuring the head center. The root center is a pressure center, but it is the pressure to do. It wants to get things done. Unfortunately, it's also a motor, and the motor energy here is about pulsing on and pulsing off. It's very similar to the will center, and it can trick us into pushing, 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 enduring, persevering, holding on much longer than necessary. If you have by birth an open root center, this is a problem for you. If you have it defined by birth, this isn't so much of a problem for you. You likely know when to shut off. It's not that you don't have endurance, you do, and you can keep pushing when you need to, but you also have a better sense of when it is to shut off. The people with an open, the open centers often don't know when enough is enough, and it can consequently then cause you to tie into workaholism and to keep working and working and working to achieve the dream or to achieve the vision or the goal. And then if you reach the end of that goal and it flops, now there's fear, right? There's fear that you've done something wrong, that you'll never succeed, etc. So the gate 32 ties us into success or failure. And is it the fear of success or is it the fear of failure, really, is what you want to ask yourself. And that whole channel right now may be tricking us all into overworking and then ultimately burning out. Remember, the root center pulses off, and when it does, all energy for action stops. And no matter how hard you push and press and, bully your way into something, nothing gets done, or at least doesn't get done correctly. So we have to know when enough is enough here, and when is it okay to stop and rest? Stop and rest. When is it okay to be, just be, and not just do? Right, this one is where you can be very tempted to become a human doing and not a human being. So we're going to be struggling with that over the next couple of days. As well, the gate 57 is defined by Venus right now. And then the let's see, what was the other one? Oh, those are the three fear gates on there. And we'll talk more about those fear gates as time goes on, because we have literally the whole month of October and the first full week of November where we are dealing with this energy off and on and in different ways as different things are being affected. Let's see here. Let's take a look and see who else has joined us now since Linda and Natasha and Debbie Hedden were there. Ace has joined us. Good morning. Colleen and Christine Erickson, hello to you. And Asa and Jody, good morning. Allison, good morning to you. Keisha Mann, good morning. I think you're new. I don't remember seeing you. So welcome. And it's nice to see you out there. And Elisa is with us this morning. And Rebecca, happy Friday, everyone, she says. And Allison also wishes everyone happy Friday. Yay. Linda says, I started first steps on paperwork yesterday to file for divorce on my birthday. Yay. Happy birthday, Linda. What a great birthday present for you. And Vanita, good morning. We haven't seen you in a long time. And Lynn, good morning. Diana Ballgard, good morning. Kathy Miller, good morning. Rebecca says, you nailed it with may I offer you some observations? That's a big one, right? The spleen centers is so far from the throat, right? It's so far. The throat center is way up here, right? Way up here. And this particular gate, the 18, offers no direct passage up to the throat. it can only go through channels, right? It can come over here and connect to the root and then move up through the sacral, the G center, and ultimately up to the throat. It can move, maybe up this way through to the throat, but via the other channels, 57 or 48. And I mean, literally, you could not, there's no direct connection, let's say, to being able to speak without getting that permission to speak. So that's the important thing to remember when you are trying to judge or criticize somebody. Or the other thing is that the earth, which I was just getting ready to transition over to, the earth is sitting up here at the gate 17, right here, 17 on the Ajna, which is called the gate of opinions. And opinions are also hanging here. It's not connected to the throat. So there's no direct route for us right now in this moment to speak our opinions. Right? They say there's a really naughty saying about opinions, and we'll skip that, but just know that your opinions are meant to be shared again with an invitation to share them. Now, with an earth sitting there, we all have opinions about what's going on in the world, what's going on in that person's life, and how you can fix your problems, and all those opinions want to come up and to be expressed. The problem with opinions is they are yours, and just because you have them doesn't make them true. And to speak them then risks alienating someone, hurting someone else's feelings. So again, the earth teaching us this next week also about when to speak your opinions. And again, opinions are with an invitation. So for example, and invitations can be like right out there. I invite you to tell me what you think about this situation, or about this outfit I'm wearing, or about this, project. That's a direct invitation. But it can also be enacted through questions. Like, I'm thinking that I have some things that I'd love to discuss with you about this project. Are you open to hearing them? And then you wait. Does that person say, yes, we'd love to hear your opinions? Or do they say, no, we don't want to? And if they say yes, then your voice, your throat is opened, right? Now that channel's connected in a way that you could share your opinion, and it would be heard, valued, and recognized, and not be a source of alienation or anger or upset. However, if you do it the other way, then you risk all of that kind of upset, not being heard, someone just going talk to the hand, and that being a, hurting your feelings. Now, the gate 17 is also one of the gates that is in the logic circuit or the understanding circuit. So it's based on scientific methods of thinking. So opinions have no place in science, right? That's kind of one of those things that your opinion is like a hypothesis, right? And the hypothesis is an idea that maybe this works this way, and then you set about to prove it. And the proof then goes through steps. The logical circuit has steps. So again, 17 is just an opinion. It is just a hypothesis, and it doesn't make it true. So we have to be very careful. We all identify with our own opinions, right? Our opinion of other people. You know what I mean, right? We all have an opinion of something. And it's that opinion that can get you into trouble, because just because it's your opinion doesn't make it true, right? There is many truths out there. And yeah, you may have a part of it. It's true for you, perhaps, but it doesn't necessarily hold that it's going to be true for other people whom you're sharing that opinion with. So we have a couple of things to be wary of this week in being overly critical or analytical, both directed at ourselves and at others, but also in sharing our opinion with others, without that invitation to be able to do so. You can see like the trouble brewing if you just start to throw out words at people without their permission. All right. Ooh, coffee's good this morning. All right, so it's a chilly morning here. Some kind of cold front coming through. It looks like it's raining. Big news. Cold. It's getting to be winterish. And I know the other part of the country seems to be, heating up, but this side is cold, your side is hot. So eventually all that cold air hopefully goes your way, and maybe we'll have some more moderate air. I had to close all of my windows, which I haven't had to do at all yet. I've been keeping some of them just a little bit open and getting air into the house, but this morning, no go. And I'm being stubborn. I'm being stubborn. I don't want to turn on the heat yet. There's just something about having to turn the heat on in September that doesn't sit right with me. So I'll wait till October, then I'll turn the heat on. In the meantime, I have sweaters and scarves and blankies that I could, be putting on my lap. Okay, so let's see, what else do we want to talk about here this morning? First of all, let's take a look, finish some. Yep, Kathy's got it too. Kathy's in Oregon, just below me here. So she's got it too. Kathy, I feel ya. Good morning, Diane. Monique Alexander says hello. Good morning to you. You might be new here too. I may recognize your name, but welcome. Lynn, good morning. Marjorie Roth, good morning. Diana said she liked the explanation of the root chakra. And Mimi has joined us. Good morning, Mimi. So yeah, the roots, all of these centers have this specific sort of energy with them. The root center just happens to be a difficult one because it has pressure, the pressure to do. And that, what do we do when we feel pressure, right? We do what we can do to relieve ourselves of that pressure. And sometimes that just means hitting send on that email that you wrote out of frustration, and then it blows up in your face. So we want to be careful about what we do right now with the pressure on the root center and with the spleen's tendency to bring up fear for us. Now, again, you remember we talked about this earlier in the week too. This isn't about you being a bad person because you're in fear. It's that you bring this up, it comes up to the surface, and then you can choose what you do with it. You can choose to see it and go, I see you, I hear you, but we're going to do this anyway, right? I'm going to move forward anyway. Or you can succumb to the fear. And that's where we get the paralysis point here, is that we can succumb to that fear. We can let it stop us. We can let it hold us back. So the spleen, very, very important in our overall success, but we need to balance success and survival energies, right? We have to balance whether are we succumbing to a fear, or are we in mortal danger? Somebody asked a great question about that this week, about, what if you're in danger? Well, that's a different story, right? We've also got instinct that keeps us from danger. If you're in mortal danger, then that fear is justified and you act accordingly. If that fear is coming from a place where you are not in mortal danger, then it's a false evidence appearing real, and it has to be accepted. It has to be, acknowledged, and then you take action appropriately to move on anyway. I hope all that makes sense to anybody. If anybody's kind of lost in that, let me know. Right, just write a comment here and we'll take a look at that. Catherine Worcester, good morning to you as well. So now let's take a look at the new moon, because of course that's the biggest news of the weekend. Here's our new moon chart. Look at that mystic rectangle in there. It's not quite perfect, but it's beautiful nonetheless. And we see a kite if we include the midheaven and the descendant here. Neptune anchoring the point of the kite. So it's really kind of a beautiful chart, kind of a beautiful mess. Over here on this side, you see a bunch of squares. These red lines here are all about challenges to the new moon. So I think it's a mixed bag new moon. So let's break it down and look at what it means. The new moon, of course, astronomically, is when the sun and the moon are at the same degree of the same sign. They are in a conjunction. That is why we don't see the moon. It's dark because the sun's light is hidden from it, or it's hiding the sun's light. And it is going to be taking place at 5 degrees of Libra. So if you can find 5 degrees of Libra in your chart, let me circle it here in this one. That was a weird circle. My pen blooped. There you see, there's 5 degrees Libra. So you're looking for this symbol in your chart. It looks like a line with scales on it, right? And you'll find the sun and the moon. These are what they look like. Right now, the moon, excuse me, is still over here in Virgo. It hasn't made it to Libra yet, but this is the spot in your chart where it will be hanging out. That is where your new moon will occur, where 5 degrees Libra is in your chart. Now, in human design, that means the new moon is at the gate of perfection, analytical judgment, criticism, our friend, gate 18. Remember yesterday we looked at that gate. It was really kind of beautiful. The woman had this really snazzy hat on, and I think that's what the gate was that we were looking at. Because I get so excited about these cards. Yeah, it was. Oh, I didn't even put them back in order. So, oh well. Well, pretty sure it was gate 18 we were talking about yesterday in the Wisdom Faces card. And the gate 18, then a lot of emphasis on it during this time, right? So the moon is there, the sun is also there on the new moon. The new moon is also occurring at 11:27 a.m. Pacific time, and that puts it at 2:27 p.m. East Coast time. Not something you necessarily see because we just don't see a new moon, but we can tap into it with our intuition. We can tap into it via the energetics of what is happening. Now, this new moon comes with an in conjunct to Uranus, hallelujah, happy day, and in conjunct to the planet of change and awakening and surprises. It tells me that this new moon period, we're going to have to adjust something. We're going to have to sacrifice a sacred cow, something we've been holding on to in order to move forward. It might be a belief, it might be an idea, it might be a person, it might be a project, it might be, I don't know. There's a couple things I've been thinking about in my own life as I look across and go, what isn't working and what might I just be loath to let go of? But in order to really connect with the new moon, I might have to release in order to be able to move forward. And that also puts the sun and moon in an opposition to Chiron, the wound, right? So let's break down what Libra represents, because that can give you an idea of what it is that you can focus your intentions on during this time. So Libra rules marriage and relationships, right? Partnerships, agreements that we make between one another. It rules sharing, how we share of ourselves, of our time, of our resources. And it is also about the key word that Chiron is driving home for us, interdependence. Not surprising, since Libra and Aries comprise an axis in your chart. And so the energies of Libra are drawing in some of those energies from Aries. Just as if this was happening in Aries, it would be drawing in the energies of Libra. So we're seeking to balance, to become more interdependent, not independent or dependent or codependent. It's that we need one another and we support one another. What is good for me is ultimately good for the people around me. And what is good for the people around me is ultimately good for me too. So interdependence. It also is focused on fairness. So we have balance, we have equality, we have negotiation skills, which always makes me think of compromising, right? Where can we be a win-win and not a win-lose or a lose-lose, right? How do we create a win-win scenario? And there's another interesting word that I think women are particularly good at, and that's consensus. Libra, in under the tab of fairness, let's say, helps us to come to consensus. We're consensus builders. We take a look at everything out there in a situation and we build a consensus, right? We're trying to make things work for as many people as we can. Right, knowing that not everybody's going to come away happy, but we can likely build some kind of consensus that is satisfactory. Again, taking us back to that win-win instead of win-lose or lose-lose energy. Libra also needs harmony, rules harmony. If you need more harmony in your life or more peace in your life, this is a great time to set that intention, to manifest that in your life. You know, Libra also rules beauty. And the arts and decorations or the decor. Often, like people who are great interior designers or feng shui people, often have Libra prominent in their chart or Venus in Libra or Venus prominent in their chart because they have this, they tap into what is naturally beautiful, where an energy naturally flows. So maybe that is maybe this is a great time to set the intention to redecorate your house. You know, it's a change of the seasons. It's fall now. Get out the fall leaves, get out the Halloween decorations, whatever it is that evokes fall for you or spring for you if you're listening to us from Australia, and redecorate your from down below the southern hemisphere and decorate your house, right? Do it up. That's a great thing, a great way to create harmony, right? Your home is a reflection of your the season and of your personal agreement with the season, your personal attachment to the season, connection to the season. Libra energy also rules teamwork, capital T, teamwork, right? There's no I in teamwork. There's me and we, but no I. And that brings up energies like collaboration. I always think of the big C's when I talk about Libra energy, collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation. So teamwork, that speaks to teamwork. We have collaboration, we have cooperation, we have giving and receiving support, right? If you expect a group to support you, or you expect a person to support you, it's not just a one-way thing. It has to be you giving as well as receiving, and the other person giving as much as they're receiving. So it is all about that, you know, keep again, there's this balance thing that we need to keep things in equal measure. Libra is also a sociable sign, much like Gemini energy, much like Aquarius energy, all air. Where they are all about getting along. They're about sharing ideas and inspiration. Through Libra specifically comes the energy of tact and diplomacy, being a diplomat in the midst of all of the chaos, right? Being able to see both sides and without judging one right and the other wrong, being able to build consensus again, getting along in those one-to-one interactions or in the team kind of interaction. Libra energy is also about refinement. And when I say refinement, I'm talking about elegance. I'm talking about simplicity. I'm talking about good graces, right? Good grace or good taste and grace. There's that, again, that connection to harmony and beauty that you can see through Libra energy. And it, you know, Venus being the ruler, there's also sort of like what we have going on in Taurus is the pampering and the energy of luxury. Right, wanting to, you know, feel supported and to feel the smell, taste, touch, all of our senses, you know, being pampered in a way. So light those candles, right? Get those nice fuzzy blankets out, cuddle up in things, do what you know, do what you can to feel pampered or pamper someone else, almost as an invitation, they'll pamper you back. Now, as we move into some of the more difficult aspects of Libra energy that you might be dealing with, and for one thing, Libra is a team energy. And sometimes in that team or relationship energy, we lose our self-identity. And then we've gone into the more negative expression of the sign of Libra or the energy of Libra. There's where codependency becomes an issue. Here's where we take on the activities that appease other people rather than really building any kind of agreement or consensus. We're just giving away the farm, right? We are racked with indecision, perhaps, waffling, not knowing which side of something to come down on, instead of trying to build again a way for building the bridge, right? To take and bring two people together or two ideas together. So, in that, though, often Librans, when they're on the more negative spectrum of their frequencies, they are giving away too much of themselves in a relationship. That tends to get them way out of balance. When they get out of balance, they get angry, they get frustrated, they burn out literally their adrenals, and then kidney issues begin to be observed. And even in this case, the health issues for Libra specifically are the adrenals, the kidneys, diabetes. So though not that I'm saying that if you're a Libra, you're doomed to have those issues, but when Libra is out of balance, those are the parts of the body that are going to be expressing that imbalance. It's not that, it's just this imbalance in the spiritual or the mental or the emotional. Literally, the physical ends up representing that imbalance to you. So the body representing where it is that you're not in alignment with the energy of that particular sign. And guess what? You all have Libra somewhere. We all have Libra somewhere in our charts. If the house that Libra is in your chart is out of balance, you too, whether or not you're a Libra, can start coming up with adrenal burnout, right? Or with kidney issues, or with diabetic type of issues, right? Blood sugar issues. So it's not just diabetes, there's also hypoglycemia, right? There's blood sugar where you can't seem to keep that energetic balanced within you, and it leads to more and more problems. So Libra has given you a whole host of things that you can set intentions around and to create more harmony, teamwork, codependency out the door, interdependency in, and strengthen your marriages or your relationships or your partnerships, and use good negotiation skills, tact, diplomacy, cooperation, collaboration, corroboration, consensus building, compromise without giving too much away. All right, any questions or issues? Kathy says she's got a wonderful weekend, or she's saying, have a wonderful weekend off. She must be off and running. Rebecca, oh, exactly on my Venus. Nice. Do you recommend looking into the transit chart for our exact location, or just follow allow by finding it in our natal chart? I'm not sure I understand the question, but what I think you mean. I would look to find Libra in my chart first. Where is Libra? In if we use this as the chart, let's say this is the chart of a person and not the chart of the new moon, we would see that the new moon will occur in the 10th house. Right here's the 10th house is this whole place right here. This line is the dividing line to the 11th house. So first I would know, all right, so my Libra cooperation, compromise, and collaboration is going to affect my career or my worldly reputation or my relationships in business or in my profession. So where I want to build consensus, where I want to have teamwork emphasis, where I want to watch for the disharmony or the imbalances is going to be in my 10th house, right? So maybe my career, maybe there's issues, you know, in the career sector or the professional sector. Maybe there's issues with me grabbing onto and claiming my authority in the work that I do in the world. So that would be what I would look at. The next thing I would look at is the fifth degree of Libra. And this is going to take you a little bit deeper than maybe some of you are able to do, and that's okay. But Rebecca, I happen to know she does a lot of study on astrology. So maybe Rebecca, you can do this. Is that you see that the Libra new moon is at 5 degrees. What else is at 5 degrees in your chart or right near it? 5, 6, 7, or 3, or 4, 3, 2. What is at those degrees in other signs, because this could be sending, you know, that reverberation through the chart. For example, right here, we've just talked about the 10th house being where that new moon is sitting. If this new moon was a person, right? So this person's likely going to be able to have new beginnings and new starts somewhere in collaboration energies, teamwork energies in the career. But it isn't the only thing that's sitting right around the fifth degree, is it? Right, we have the planet Uranus also in the sixth house of this chart in the sign of Taurus, right here. Right, so we have another fifth degree. If we check that out, we already know that that's an inconjunct. That means likely there is the sixth house rules the body health, but it also rules the workplace itself, like the environment that you're working in. Since we already know this is affecting a 10th house, the career and profession, I'm going to look to my workplace. And I'm going to say maybe the office isn't arranged in the best way. Maybe the energy doesn't flow through the office very well. Maybe there's an issue with the people in the office. Maybe there's a skirmish going on, and I can put, you know, some energy into creating more harmony in that workplace. So definitely, if this were the chart of a person, the emphasis with that fifth degree happens to be putting it in the 10th house and the sixth house. But we also have Chiron in the mix. Chiron sitting at 3 degrees, 35 minutes, almost to 4 degrees, is also important here. And it's sitting in the fourth house, right? The fourth house. Whoops, let me turn this chart. There we go. Fourth house right here. So it is in a place in the chart where the foundation may be rocky, where there's not a great foundation in the workplace. Maybe your workflow isn't smooth. So maybe you can set the foundation. Maybe there is someone undermining the office or the work. So that would be a great time if you were working in an office Or or if this is a project, even if it's even in your own business, maybe you're a solopreneur, right? Or an entrepreneur. This is just you. So where is it that you have opportunities to start something new in your career? Where is it that maybe the workplace isn't conducive, your workstation isn't conducive to doing that work? And how can you maybe establish a new foundation that makes things work better? So you can make stories out of this. Do you see that, guys? It's pretty simple. You can really make astrology simple if you know just key things. Lord, I can't talk today, about yourself and about your chart. All right. Rebecca, sorry, I ask a lot of questions. I love it that you ask questions. Does Libra themes of cooperation, etc., relate to our relationships with the cosmos and source? All your relations, right? All your relations doesn't have to be just with people. It can be a relationship to God or spirit or source. It can be a relationship to money. It can be a relationship to health or your body, the relationship you have to your family, to your friends, the relationship you have to your unconscious or your subconscious mind, your relationship to you. In literally then the relationships in your marriage, in your business, in your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, aunts, uncles, parents, all of those are relationships that you could be looking to strengthen with the new moon, right? Especially if it's something that has been out of balance for you. Good. Okay, good. Rebecca says, sorry for asking more. No, you're fine. I did answer that one. Okay, sorry. Makes sense. Okay, good. So Debbie Hedden says, have a great weekend. I hate when I miss interesting conversations. Rebecca, I learn from your questions. I think we all learn from people's questions. I'll tell you what I learn when you guys ask questions is, where are the holes? Where don't you know something? Where then can I fill in that blank for you? That's the best thing about questions, right? It gives me something to talk about. Not that I need anything to talk about mostly, but for example, Rebecca, I would have had no idea that there might have been that hole for you in terms of, what relationships mean. So perfect, right? You ask the question, I get to fill it in, and everybody benefits, including me. So there you have it. Ask your questions. Don't hesitate to ask the questions. Okay. Now, let's see, is there anything? Oh, yes, let's talk really quickly about the, what time do we have? I want to save time maybe to do a couple of readings this morning. The Pleiadian Earth energy for the weekend. Today we are at five illuminating. The five is the universal energy. So no matter where we be in this universe, we would be experiencing five energy, which is the energy of change. Surprises, the unexpected. And here's the other thing that I find spectacular about the five coming the day before a new moon. It gives us the opportunity, maybe even the urge to let go of something, to let go of something that isn't working in favor of holding space for something new to take its place, something that is more appropriate, something more balanced, more in harmony. So the five of change doesn't have to be change in the more negative way that we think of it. It could be just our ability to say, you know what, I am done with this. I'm letting this go and I'm moving on. On the other hand, we have the energy of illuminating. That is the earth energy that we're experiencing today. In the Mayan calendar, it was Xuan, which was monkey. So today, illuminating energy is about lightness. It is about bringing humor to the things that we're experiencing. We're avoiding drama and illusions today. So overall, a good day, I think, to maybe just, it's been a pretty serious week. I don't know about all the countries that are represented here in the morning, but here in this country, it has been a difficult week in terms of things that we're finding out and just the voices and the energy out there in the outer world. So let go of all that and just put some humor and lightness into your life and get prepared for a weekend of having some fun, perhaps. The day tomorrow, so the new moon falls at six choosing energy. Six is the universal energy of flow. So it's about a moment that I mean an energy that has movement to it, that has the flow of prosperity, let's say, or the way things move, right? So we have change with the five, and it's like the snowball that goes down the hill, right? Then following that change, that pushing off something over the edge, it picks up momentum, and that's what flow is about, the picking up of momentum. Choosing, which will be the earth energy, is ebb in the Mayan calendar. Ebb was the road. And what are the experiences that you have on the journey down the road? And in that, there are experiences that will require healing. There are experiences where we can, more nurture ourselves, or we see that we want more of that. So we nurture that seed into adulthood. It is a great energy for settling differences between one another. So tomorrow's energy, the new moon's energy, is about being able to heal and nurture that flow and that movement. Sunday energy is seven, exploring. I didn't look up seven. What the heck? I think it's merging energy, but let's see for sure. Yeah, seven is merging. It's the day that we can merge and connect with varying viewpoints, different belief systems with new information. We're merging the old with the new, and exploring energy is Ben in the Mayan calendar, which represented the reed. And the reed, if it stays strong, is too rigid, it could break. High wind comes along, breaks it. So it is about avoiding rigidity. It's about being able to bend and yield and flow. Merging energies, right? If I'm going to blow it into the wind, I'm likely going to survive. Where if I'm blowing against the wind, I might get broken. So avoid rigidness. Exploring energy is about exploring. It's a great day for travel. It's a great day for being with other people and discussing different points of view. Try not to get too political. Don't get overly opinionated. Right, this isn't about your opinions. This energy that day is really just about exploring. What is it all about out there? What is the world about? All right. So let's see. Do we have anybody out there that would like a reading? Vanita, she's Johnny on the spot. She would like a card reading today. Vanita, would you like me to use the wisdom of the oracle? Whoop, this way. Or would you like me to use the spirit animal deck? I've got both of them sitting here. And so I'm going to start writing names. I've got Vanita and Debbie. Okay, no, not Debbie. Oh, it says I agree, Debbie. Sorry, that's Colleen saying that. Okay, so Vanita, I'm not getting any response, so I'm going to pull this card for you, okay? So Wisdom of the Oracle, but if you decided you wanted an animal card, I'll be happy to pull that too. And then remind me. We'll pull a card for the weekend for all of us, just for the energy of the new moon. And this is for Vanita. Oh gosh, that flipped out. Oh, lovely card, Vanita. It is imagine. Look at that, the moon and all of those light beams. It is card number 20, which is a two, which is a nice relationship number. Imagine. So let's see what that means. 20, 18, 19. Okay, the essential meaning here for you, Vanita, is turning imagination into manifestation. Creative thought, visualization, the power of aligning imagery, excuse me, the power of aligning imagery and feelings and creativity and illusions. And here's the oracle's message for you. Who do you want to be? What do you need to believe in order to have the life you want? What do you need to believe in order to have the life you want? You were gifted with the power to imagine. If you can dream it, you can create it. This is the time when your imagination is the key to manifesting the life you desire. Spend time daydreaming, fashioning a vision board to help you see your goals, or meditating. Allow the power of your creativity to deliver images of what feeds your soul. Then allow your feelings to mingle with your inspiration and imagine these things being real right now. Then repeat. What you imagine will become your belief, and soon you will see these things come to pass in the outer world as if by magic. Lovely, lovely card. Perfect for a new moon, too, Vanita. She's heading to Eastern Washington today. Be safe. Amy Moore would like a reading. Amy, I am working on your chart, by the way, today, Amy. So expect that coming. I think that was you that I wrote down yesterday. Amy Moore. Yes. So today I'll be working on your chart. And so Vanita, I'd say, you know, your card is showing you that you have some pretty powerful imagination, creative energy at your fingertips. What is the life that you would like to create? Write it into being. So Amy, this is for you. Rebecca would also like one. I just write these down so I don't forget where I was. And Linda, yes for you. Christine, yes for you. Catherine Worcester, Catherine, yes for you. And she's renting a cabin with friends this weekend. Yes, awesome. Okay, so you're going to have a great time. All right, so let's go back. Now, this is for you, Amy. I'm drawing a Wisdom of the Oracle card. By the way, these are by Colette Baron-Reed, right? And the Wisdom of the Oracle, this deck to me is just magical. I have like box over here full of cards, card decks, but I just can't bring myself to use them because like the magic that happens when these cards fly out as if some unseen hand sends it out of the deck for me. And this is for you, Amy, and it is the card Here and Now, number 32, which is a 5, so change, nice, right? 5 here and now, and it was right side up. So let's take a look at 32. Essential meaning of the card says being fully present in the moment, living one day at a time. The Oracle's message says everything happens in the now, in the present. Only this moment counts. You have what it takes to handle anything today if you let go of the need to look into the future or reflect on the past. Be present and notice what is going on right now. This very moment has the potential for you to create miracles in your life. Awesome. That's a very spleen card, don't you think, right? Being in the now, being in the moment. Rebecca, let's see, did anybody say what cards they wanted? Rebecca. Okay, well, Rebecca, I'm going to pull you a Woto as well. Wisdom of the Oracle. Forgot to turn that one over. And so this is for Rebecca. TikTok and the Fates. 2 cards came out for you and they were this way, upside down. So TikTok and the Fates. The TikTok card is number 30, which is a 3. And the Fates, number 17, which is an 8. So here's what they look like without me throwing them around. TikTok came out first, so 30. And again, your cards kind of flew out. I just think that's funny when that happens. TikTok says timelessness, divine timing, immeasurable time. And it was in protection as it was upside down. So what do we need here? Have you been feeling as if the clock is ticking and gotten a little nervous that your dreams are taking too long to manifest? There is nothing to fear. You will never run out of time for the important things. The miracles that are yours and yours alone can't be missed. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. You're in such capable hands with guides and angels hovering in the invisible spaces, ensuring that your journey will be filled with all sorts of goodies. Let your anxiety be gently dispelled by your faith. Spirit will never deny you your highest good. All is yours in divine, appropriate timing. You can relax. Okay, got that message. Here is the Fates, number 17, and it was also in protection. So let's see what the Fates have to say to you. I would say it's probably going to be something similar, right? The Fates' essential meaning is fate, karma, acceptance that there are things you cannot change, and knowing what those things are. The protection message says, it is difficult to understand why painful things happen to good people. Fate is a mystery after all. Yet we do with our circumstances Yet, what we do with our circumstances, the way in which we respond to life's challenges, is how we rise up to greet our destiny. Now is one of those times to be aware of your powerlessness to change certain situations and surrender to acceptance. Hang in there. Life will only get better. Act as if you believe that, for the only thing you can control right now is your attitude. When you align with the fates, being mindful of what you can and cannot change, serenity will come to you. Wow. Powerful, powerful things there for you, Rebecca. I hope that holds meaning for you. Linda, 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 our birthday girl from yesterday. And I hope everybody will wish Linda a happy belated birthday. I can't believe I forgot your birthday, Linda. Actually, I guess I just didn't see it on Facebook or something. Or I just didn't have the time yesterday. I wasn't on Facebook very much. Linda, all that glitters. All that glitters. And it is card number 16. It was upside down, though, in protection. Look at all that gold. So there's gold to be had. Let's see what that means. Card 16. Ooh, gotta go this way. Okay, the essential meaning of that card, Linda, is a need to see beyond the superficial, the desire to don a mask or dress something up to disguise its true nature, trying to be something you're not, chasing after every sparkly new thing, being mercurial. And in protection, it says this: this is a signal to walk away from what you're contemplating. There is a thin veneer of glitter and sparkle that masks something rotten underneath. Pursuing it will only bring about a difficult situation you will be sorry you got yourself into. Stay away. Isn't it wonderful how spirit protects you? Better things await. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I wish we could chat about that, Linda, to find out what that's all about for you, but it would seem to be a bit of a warning. And I know earlier here in the broadcast, you said something about divorce. And I don't think it's about the divorce, not starting the divorce. I have a feeling that it may be, you know, maybe there's something else you've been contemplating that relates to that, that maybe you should be aware of or wary of. All right, next is Christine. Christine Erickson. Okay, good. Rebecca said, oh my God, I needed both messages. Really, thank you so much. You're most welcome. And Christine, for you, I get truth be told. Upside down. What is it with everybody in protection today? Card number 14, is it? Yep, 14, which is a 5. We have our beautiful little owl, right? So truth be told. Let's see what that's about. Somebody trying to pull one over on you, maybe, huh? 14. The card's meaning is honesty, accepting things at face value, coming out of denial, the willingness to be transparent, and clarity of communication. And in protection, it says, where are you being dishonest with yourself or others? If you're unhappy in any area of your life, look for signs of denial. This can also pertain to others being misleading or withholding or acting from hidden agendas. Now is the time to say no to dishonesty in all forms. Ask for the truth, even if you don't like what you hear. Acknowledging it will be key to a beautiful new future where you no longer labor under the heavy burdens that deceit and denial impose on you. Set yourself free. Nothing less than truth is required now. I wanted to point out something that I didn't say this morning for whatever reason, is that the high side in the gene keys of both the sun's energy this week and where Jupiter is sitting right now is about integrity, right? Integrity. And integrity, there's no small measure of truth telling in integrity, right? You have to know what your truth is and you have to live from that truth. So truth telling, truth be told in protection, right? So don't take anything that anybody's telling you at face value and make sure that you're also being honest in all ways. Catherine Worcester, this is for you. And let's see if anybody else checked in. Okay. Oh, Linda, I didn't miss your birthday. It's in October. Isn't it like the October 7th or something, or 2nd? I don't know why I thought you were saying that yesterday was your birthday. Ooh, another one upside down, and this is for you, Catherine. It is, look at this cute card. The polar bears, a leg up, it says, card number 34, which is a 7. We've had a couple of 7s here today, 16s, and that now a 34, adding up to a 7. Let's see what this card means when it's in protection. A leg up. Everybody needs a leg up from time to time. 34. Oh no, there we go. So the general meaning of the card is receiving help, delegating authority, and our keyword, interdependence. Gotta love it when that happens. So let's take a look at it in protection. What does it mean? Are you always insisting on doing everything yourself? Do you have little faith that help will come, convinced that the burden of the world is doomed to remain on your shoulders? Your beliefs about going it alone need to be discarded as they do not serve you at all. Let others help you. Yes, it will make you feel vulnerable to admit you need a helping hand, but to be vulnerable is good, for you have a lesson to learn. You must let someone else assist. You can't do life all by yourself. Once you shift your expectations, you'll be amazed by how quickly help arrives to give you a leg up. Whoa, right? I love it when those cards pop up that have our keywords in it that we were just talking about today, right? This has true meaning for you in some ways in your life, Catherine, because it is so closely echoing what the new moon is all about. So lovely, lovely. All right, so now I'm going to switch gears. I'm just going to draw a card right now that's generalized for the new moon for all of us. So basically, I just say, show us a card that holds the most meaning for us at the new moon and for all of us, for the most number of us. Oops, got my scarf there. And then I'll also draw an animal card to lead us along. And I get, ooh, two. There's two. Okay. The first one is chaos and conflict. Always a fun card, right? 33, double threes. Where is our Suzanne Fulmer this morning? She's usually the one that posts our angel numbers. That's a double number, master number. It's a Christed number. So chaos and conflict. And then upside down, new life. Card number 39, which is a 12, which is a 3. We have triple threes, 333. That's interesting to me. Right? That's kind of signs and symbols stuff, kind of stuff. So let's see what those mean. And this is in general for everybody. So, right, you little tricksters. 33. So the card 33 is says chaos and conflict. The essential meaning is disarray, being at cross purposes with another, the tension of opposites, the value of chaos before order. And the oracle's message says opposing forces come together to create a turbulent atmosphere, but consider the value of chaos that serves you well as you become unmoored by it. Scattered to the winds, you leave behind the parts of yourself you no longer need and disperse seeds to reinvent yourself anew. That sounds a lot like the moon and sun in the in conjunct to Uranus. Although the conflict appears to exist externally, its essence is also internal, projected outward and causing disarray. You may find yourself at cross purposes with someone else, facing a storm you feel you can't control. Yet every storm passes and chaos leads to a reordering of things. Conflict provides a way to see more than one side of a situation. Look upon this as just a moment in time when you may need to take shelter and step away from the fray. Don't be too eager to fight. This is a time to understand rather than to be understood. 39 is our new life. New life, the fairy that is just coming up and waking up, it looks like here. And it is a card that says birth of new ideas, growth, opportunities, a breath of fresh air, life renewing itself, and it's in protection. So it says for all of us, you must acknowledge your inexperience and gently allow yourself to be like the delicate new bud opening. It's okay to admit you may not know something. You are at the beginning of things and haven't yet hit your stride. Be immersed in the newness of it all and don't try to rush the learning process. New life has its own timetable for maturity. Be here now. Life loves you. Nice. Love that. Those are great cards, really, for all of us, even though it does point to a little bit of chaos. Chaos serves to clear the air. And I'm going to choose an animal card for us for the new moon as well. And we get deer spirit and hummingbird spirit. Holy cow, didn't we have those two together 1 week already? Both of them upside down in protection. But look at these beauties, right? Hummingbird and deer. Deer is number, oh my goodness. Hummingbird is number 34, another seven. And deer is 18, which is a nine. Deer says, bring a gentle touch. And hummingbird says, be here now. Okay, I think we get a message here of this being in the moment. Let's see, which one did I pull first? Deer. Deer is number 18. I swear we pulled the same two together before. So in protection, deer says, a deer spirit is bringing you a gentle warning that now is not the time to engage in an argument, no matter how volatile others are being. Do not match their intensity with your own. If you are dealing with an overly assertive person, step back and disengage, lest you agree to something out of alignment with your intentions. Don't let anyone bully you into anything you're uncomfortable with. You have solid footing if you stand your ground with grace. Those who disagree will begin to find their own gentleness and willingness to compromise. Dear Spirit also brings the message that it might be easy to offend someone today or take offense because someone lacks diplomacy. Let all of that pass. You are not meant to take this world personally. While it's a beautiful gift to be sensitive, today you need a tougher hide so that any compromises you make will allow you to maintain your integrity. And last but not least, the card 34, big surprise there, that 34 showing up again, a seven. Be here now, hummingbird spirit, beautiful little bird. And in protection, it says, nectar is everywhere, but hummingbird spirit is here to remind you that flying from flower to flower and being all over the place wastes precious energy. Be still. Be here now in the present moment, enjoying the sweetness and sustenance available to you. Focus on one flower today, just one. Nectar is there for you, and hummingbird spirit's message is that wherever you put your attention, there your energy flows. Yikes, that's awesome. Are you focused on the sweetness or on finding something better somewhere else? Always yearning and feeling that life is not enough and you are not enough? All you seek is right here, right now. Appreciate the present and you will see that you are where you need to be and enjoying what you are entitled to enjoy in this timeless and perfect moment. Love it. Great cards. Great, great cards. All right, everybody. Last check for comments. She's had a malfunction right when you pulled my card. Oh my goodness. So what did you not want to hear about your card? Love it. But hopefully you'll be able to hear it later, Catherine. And Linda, definitely sit and consider what's going on there. So everybody, take care. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, the new moon is all about bringing more balance and harmony and love and joy into your life. What must you do to bring that in? It's what you need to do this weekend. All right, take care. See you all Monday morning. Bye for now. Go Hawks.